This is Sunday morning, October the 7th, 2018, and we're going to do boundaries, part 8. Is that right, part 8? And then I'm going to have a prophet's uncut, and then we'll be done. Boundaries. We'll look at Romans 13:10. Love one another with brotherly affection, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love does no wrong to one's neighbor. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is the fulfilling of the law. Living by the golden rule is perfect for this. Always put yourself in the other person's shoes. Brother Hagin said he always used this guide. How is what I'm about to say going to affect the person I'm about to say it to? Weighing those words. Most would probably say, well, bless God, I've got my rights and I'm going to do it or I'm going to say it regardless of how it affects the other fellow. We kind of live in a world that way. I've got my rights. Everything's about my rights. My life matters. Your life doesn't matter. My life matters. And what I want to do with my life, whether it infringes on your life or not, I have my say and I have my rights. Isn't that kind of the way it is? The way it has gotten, but it's going to change. It's changing. We're seeing a change after this last fiasco we've just been through. I sensed a difference. Even last night, I was like, Lord, I sense a difference in the atmosphere already with this, the Judge Kavanaugh being confirmed. And the way Lindsey Graham has stepped up, it's like the man was dead and he's alive. I'm thinking, he's taken charge of the Republican Party and he's had those crowds harassing him. One group, he said, he started talking about the process. It was before the vote. And the crowd started booing him, and he said, oh, boo yourself. And the guy, the orator, he said, well, let's be respectful of this meeting. I'm not going to have that here as far as them booing him and doing that disrespectful stuff at the confirmation vote. Mike Pence must have said it 20 times, sergeant in arms, whatever it is, where you go and quiet, in the hall they were heckling and screaming, and it was horrible. It sounded horrible. They couldn't even do their vote. So he'd have the sergeant of arms go out there and carry him off. And he did that at least 20 times. So you see, this is new presidents because it seems like they've just let these demonized people just take over and do whatever, afraid they're going to get sued if they come against them. And you're seeing some people start stepping up. The tide has turned. You know, we had some words from the Lord about that way back, about the tide turning, that this dissidence and this stuff that's been allowed to go on, it's over. All right, hospitality. We're going to talk about hospitality just a little bit. Hospitality means fond of guests and entertaining strangers. It says in the scripture that we're to be watchful, entertaining strangers, lest we entertain angels unaware. You know, sometimes we may be dealing with an angel and we just don't know it. I want them to go back and say, she did right, Lord, she did good. You know, instead of saying, she was just an old... not very hospitable. I don't want him going reporting that to the Lord about me. All right, 12. I told you, I read this a while ago. This is 12. Well, this is 12:13. Romans 12:13. Contribute to the needs of God's people. Pursue the practice of hospitality. I'm just going to read a few scriptures here on that. 1 Timothy 3:2 is another one. In other words, when people come to your house or you meet people, I think we should make them feel welcome. Like we got enough respect for them that we give them a little bit of our time. That they feel like, well, they were just so hospitable, that made me feel so good. Have you ever been a place where they treat you like the bastard at the family reunion? Yeah. Now, a bishop must give no grounds for accusation, but must be above reproach. The husband of one wife, circumspect and temperate, self-controlled, sensible and well-behaved and dignified and lead an orderly, hospitable, well, it doesn't really say. Let me read all of it in the brackets. Hospitable, showing love and being a friend to the believers, especially strangers or foreigners, and be a capable and qualified teacher. So that's talking about church leaders. Being hospitable. All right, Titus 1:8. It's talking about the bishop, the overseer again, but must be hospitable, loving and a friend to believers, especially to strangers and foreigners, a lover of goodness, sober-minded, upright and fair-minded, a devout man, religiously correct, temperate, and keeping himself in hand. This is not just men, you know, their culture. Women were more like property back then. So in the body of Christ, though, and putting this in the proper respect, it'd be, you know, members in the leaders in the body of Christ, men or women. Okay, 1 Peter 4:9. This was actually last week that I didn't get to. Get to have it this week. Practice hospitality to one another. Be hospitable, be a lover of strangers with brotherly affection for the unknown guests, the foreigners, the poor, and all others who come your way or who are of Christ's body. In each instance, do it ungrudgingly, cordially, and graciously without complaining, but as representing Him. So it's not just the ones that we know, it's the ones that says you don't know, strangers. Okay. Hospitable means to be open, offering a pleasant or sustaining environment or welcoming. Have you ever felt unwelcome? Makes you feel very uncomfortable. We can't mistreat people and think we can prosper in the things of God. Now I want to read to you a few pages from Love the Way the Victory. Page 30 here. This little chapter is called Love Worketh No Ill to His Neighbor. Now look at Romans 13:10, because there is a truth we need to see about the God kind of love in this verse. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Another characteristic of the God kind of love is that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Well, you could read it this way and do that verse no justice. Love works no ill to anyone. Over the years, my wife and I have had many opportunities in the ministry to exercise the God kind of love so our love would grow and develop. For example, one time we went to preach for some folks and we had just enough money to buy gasoline to get to their church. We arrived at the church in the time to preach that evening, and after the service we were hungry because we'd been traveling all day with very little to eat. We were staying with the pastor and his wife in their parsonage, so we thought surely they would give us something to eat when we came home after the service, but they didn't take us out to eat after church or give us anything to eat at their house. They just went to bed, so we went to bed hungry. The next morning, we got up hungry, but they had already gone. My wife said, maybe they went out to get something to fix for breakfast, but they didn't come back. Later, she said, they'll probably come back at lunch and take us out to eat. Well, they didn't come back for lunch either. We didn't have a cent in our pockets because we'd used every bit of our money just to get to that town to preach. Finally, they came in about church time and got ready to go to church. But they never said anything about dinner or about feeding us. They didn't even ask us if we'd had anything to eat or if we were hungry. It had been a day and a half since we'd eaten anything and we were hungry. It's one thing when you're fasting and seeking God, then you expect to deny the flesh. But we weren't fasting. We were just going hungry because there wasn't anything to eat. Then after we finished the church service the second night, we thought they'd probably offer us something to eat, but they never said a word about it. They went to bed, so we went to bed too. We got up the next morning and they had already left. We thought they would probably come back by noon and take us out to eat or at least give us some food, but they didn't come home. Finally, we went into the kitchen to see if we could find something to eat because by then we were really hungry. We found one shriveled hot dog, one egg, and one stale piece of bread. We fixed the toast, boiled the hot dog, and cooked the egg, and we each had a half a piece of toast, half a hot dog, and half an egg, and a glass of water apiece. I said to my wife, I know what I'm going to do. You see, your flesh and your mind can get stirred up when people do you wrong. That's why the Bible says you've got to keep them under subjection to your spirit. I said, I'm going to call the district superintendent and ask him, what kind of ministers do you have in this district anyway? We haven't had anything to eat for two days. You know, if you're not careful in a situation like that, your flesh will want to take over. See, I got my rights. So I went to the phone and started to call the district supervisor, but something on the inside of me constrained me. Now I would know why the man walked in the love he did, or in the faith he did, his love. Faith works by love. It was the love of Christ constraining me. I came back and said to my wife, I can't do it. I didn't call the district supervisor. Bless their hearts. People who act like these pastors are not going to make it spiritually anyway, but I'm not going to contribute to their downfall. I'm not going to be the one to trip them up. I don't care if they did wrong. I've got to walk in love whether they do or not, because the Bible says that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Well, that couple finally came in before church on the third day and never said anything about dinner or even asked us if we were hungry. We went to church, and afterwards they just brought us home and didn't offer to feed us anything. They hadn't even given us an offering so we could buy something to eat. By then it felt like my stomach was rubbing my backbone. But when you go without food for several days, your flesh gets to crying out. I said to my wife again, I'm going to call the district superintendent and ask him what kind of pastors he has in this district. If you go to paying attention to your head and your flesh, you'll get into trouble. I went to the telephone to call him, but again, something on the inside of me wouldn't let me do it. The love of Christ constrained me. I know myself, when you think you've got some righteous indignation about something and you go and you're going to go give somebody a piece of your mind, I don't think I can ever remember a time it ever worked out well to do it. I said to my wife, no, I can't do it. I've got a mind to get in the car tonight when the service is over, just leave. But I couldn't do that either. Just because somebody else does wrong does not mean you have the right to do wrong. I said to my wife, no, I can't do it. I did that. In the first place, people in the congregation would ask the pastor, where's Brother Hagin? Then they would wonder why I left. It would look bad for the pastor. You know what? If people in the body of Christ would do this, especially among leaders, I don't know how many other, it just seems like a lot of ministers bash other ministers on the air. And I'm thinking, if we just listen to Brother Hagin, only person the Lord ever said, if you want to stay sound and you need answers to some things, he's the only person that God said, I'll lead you to one of his books to show you what to do. Not that you don't listen to anybody else, but as far as the simplicity of his faith. But by the next day, we were hungry. I started to call the district superintendent again, but I just couldn't do it. Instead, I said to my wife, I can't do it. These dear ones, bless their darling hearts, are never going to make it in the ministry acting this way, but I don't want to contribute to their downfall. I'll stay through Sunday. I'm going to do right, whether these pastors do or not. People who don't have any more character or concern for others than that are never going to make it anywhere, much less in the ministry. In fact, this couple never should have been in the ministry to begin with, but I'm not going to contribute to their downfall because then it would hurt me spiritually. Sooner or later, their pastor is going to reap whatever he sowed, but I'm not going to help him reap it. Besides, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. Love, God's love, is long-suffering, patient, and kind. Finally, one of the church deacons came to visit us, and he began questioning me. I saw that he knew something wasn't right, but I didn't want to hurt the pastor by confiding in one of his own deacons. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So I did my best not to say anything that would hurt the pastor. I remember Brother Hagin talking about, as far as he said the Lord's always sent him to troubled churches. But he said, as far as my kids were concerned, they never knew that anybody in the church were anything less than an angel of God. They didn't badmouth the congregation to their kids. I mean, they walked in faith where they did for a reason. They had a high love walk. The deacon finally said to my wife and me, come down to my house. He took us to the back of his house where there was a deep freezer that was full of meat and fresh vegetables. He said to us, just take anything you want. We took the food home and fixed it ourselves. That pastor and his wife never did feed us or give us one thing to eat the entire time we were there. They took up an offering every night, but they never gave us any of it, so we couldn't go buy something to eat. Finally, the last night of the meeting, they did give us a small offering. I think for the whole week, they finally gave us $43. We were sorely tempted to get out of love, but I couldn't gripe and complain about it. I've got to walk in love if I'm going to stay healthy. I just like it so much better staying well. So my wife and I just put our faith in God. We knew that down the road, God would meet our needs, so we just went our way. What happened to those pastors? Sometime later, the district superintendent called me and asked, did you preach for those folks? I told him that I had held a meeting for them at their church. He asked me, did you pick up anything in your spirit while you were there? I didn't have to pick up anything in my spirit. I mean, if nothing else, going all those days without food, my stomach told me something was wrong. He said, we had to deal with those folks. We just had to simply take that church away from them. I noticed that was the last church that couple ever pastored. The district superintendent had to dismiss them from their fellowship. No one ever heard from them again. In fact, they just disappeared off the scene. But we in the body of Christ need to treat one another with love. Love works no ill to his neighbor. We can't mistreat people and think we can prosper in the things of God. Can you take one more? This is a really good one. I'm thinking, boy, I think in this one I would have just, I'd been all hard. It's easy to get out of joint when you feel like you've been mistreated. I went to hold a meeting for another fellow right here in the state of Oklahoma, and I was glad on that occasion that I went by myself. That time the children were small, my wife couldn't travel with me all the time. This pastor lived in a nice parsonage, and his church was one of the better well-made brick churches in that area. You have to understand that back in those days, not many full gospel churches were made of brick. Some wooden churches existed, but there were very few brick churches. But this pastor's church was one of the nicest churches in this town, and so was his parsonage. Well, holding a meeting in this church, I had another opportunity to walk to work no ill toward my neighbor. You see, this man gave me accommodations out back behind his parsonage in his chicken coop. He hadn't even cleaned it out very well. There was chicken droppings all around. He just put a bed out there, and that's where he put me. Well, can you imagine how you'd feel about that? And of course, I've got the flesh to deal with just like you do. My flesh rose up, and I thought, I don't have to put up with this. I'll just leave. But then I realized that I couldn't leave because it might hurt the flock of God. They would wonder why I'd left, and they would have gotten suspicious of their pastor. You see, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, and God's love in us never takes account of a suffered wrong. So I couldn't do that. I decided to tough it out and stay 1 week so it wouldn't make the pastor look bad. A week in a chicken coop. I said to the Lord, Lord, I'll tell you what I'll do. I know the meeting is set up to go longer, but I will finish out the week. In the first meeting, I announced that I'd only preach through Sunday night. I made it look as good on the pastor as I could, and I left on Sunday night. You ask, whatever happened to him? He died at age 39 with cancer of the throat. That was the last church he ever pastored. In fact, he wasn't even pastoring a church when he died. He was working in a grocery store. You see, if we don't walk in love, dear friends, you just throw yourself wide open to the devil's attacks. You'll find out that one reason there is so much sickness in the body of Christ, even among preachers, is that believers don't walk in love toward one another. That's part of the communion. Part of it is judging yourself. Then people couldn't get healed until they make adjustments in their heart and begin to walk in love toward one another. It's not God holding it back. They put themselves into the devil's hands. Walking in the love of God is the way to prosper in life. The God kind of love will bring you into victory in every area of your life. Just endeavor to do what the Bible says and exercise a God kind of love. You can't prosper in God if you don't treat other people right or if you're holding on to grudges in your heart. I've trained myself through the years to think like this. How is what I'm about to say or do going to affect the other fellow? Love worketh no ill to anyone. Is what I'm about to say or do going to hurt the other person? If it is, then I can't say it or do it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm far from perfect. I missed it. But when I saw that I missed it in the love walk as fast as I can, I repented and got right back walking in the love of God. It goes on to talk about marriage, but we're not going to do that today. So, okay. Love works no ill to its neighbor. No, I've got a...
No, you won't make your copy.
Yes, stop it.